to have Miss Wanda, right? Yeah. There's bigger churches that don't have Miss Wanda, right? But we're glad to have her and her talents, as well as all of you, okay? Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We looked at verses 1 through 3 this morning. Tonight we're going to look at 4 through 10 if I think I can make it. And we'll read it in just a moment here. But again, I want to tell you this is one of the greatest passages on God's sovereign salvation from his aspect. How he takes us from being lost and undone to a child of the King. So he looks at salvation past, present, and future. Now this morning we shared what we were in verses 1 through 3, and it was pretty dire state. And then we're going to look tonight at what God did in verses 4 through 7, and we'll look at why God did it in verses 8 through 10. So this morning we saw our lost condition without Christ, without God, without hope. We were sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. We were dead, we were deluded, we were disobedient, we were defiled, and we were doomed. And that's a pretty dire picture. We were spiritually dead and on our way to hell, but verse 4 says, but God, right? Thank God for his intervention. Thank God for the contrast. That would be a good study in itself, just to look up in the concordance all the but gods, right? And see what you can find. But God. God did not leave us in verses 1 through 3. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and we're going to look at what God did and why he did it. And beginning in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Boy, isn't that an amazing verse? Not only does he give us his kindness and blessings now, but he's going to do it for eternity. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's the cornerstone of the Christian faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Father, I pray tonight as we go further in this text. Oh, it's just, there's no way I can exposit everything that's in this text, Lord. But we thank you for your amazing grace that you've shown us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we were, what God did. Verses 4 through 7. God provided salvation for us by taking the initiative because of his love. Did y'all hear what I just said? How many of you are actually seeking God before he was seeking you? No, that's not the way it works, is it? And he seeks us, therefore we seek him. And he's motivated by his love. When we were unlovely, when we were unlovable, you know, do you feel identified with your pastor? There are some people that it's hard to love. Let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. I don't want no names, but there are some people that are just downright unlovable, right? And they make it hard. But Christ loved us even when we were dead in our sins. He demonstrated his love for us on the cross. And he showed us his love and his holiness. Now, listen to this now. His love saved us, and grace saved us, and mercy, but his holiness and justice demanded that we go to hell. Do y'all know that? It demanded. He didn't have to save us. He didn't have to put a but God here in verse 4, right? He could have just left us going our way that we deserve to go. People say, well, I don't deserve what's happening to me. Well, you don't want what you deserve. You'll be burning in hell forever and ever, right? People that make that statement don't know God, right? And so here he is, he saved us, and he didn't leave us dead, but God. Verses 4 and 5 tells us that God has resurrected us in Christ, with Christ. Look in verse 4 and 5, if you will. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together and made us alive. He gave us spiritual life. A spirit that was dead to him, he made alive. He quickened us. By grace are you saved. And then he says in verse 6, and hath raised us up together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He resurrected us with Christ. Salvation gives spiritual life. And guess what? Spiritual life gives evidence of salvation, right? You can tell. I mean, listen, we made it too hard. We just copped out a lot. If you're born again, there's going to be a transformed life, right? And there's going to be evidence that you are a child of God. You don't remain the same. God raised us out of our sin and death and made us alive in Christ. And the same power that energizes the Christian life and the same power that saved you lives in you now, that enables you and energizes you to live the Christian life. So we became spiritually alive and spiritually responsive to God. You know, before I was saved, man, that was a sermon by the preacher was the most boring thing in the whole world, right? I was wanting to get home before the Vince Dooley Bulldog show came on. That shows you how old I am, right? And thank God for a wife that loved the Lord and loved me enough to leave me at the house, right? And take the children to school. I wasn't proud of that period in my life, you know. But God, amen, came into my life here. And so God, if you will, I couldn't understand spiritual truth. I couldn't get no sense out of a sermon. I didn't know what they were doing. They might as well have been Muslims as far as I was concerned. I didn't know what in the world was going on in church, right? My parents didn't take me to church, you know. I played on the church softball team, and we'd win some championships, but I didn't even go into church, right? Shame on that pastor for signing the roster, you know, for doing that. But God, man, after that, I can't get enough, you know. I mean, this spiritual stimuli just poking me every time I come to church, man. I'm just excited about being here with the family of God. But you were the same way, right? But God. And he intervened in our life. Paul calls it walking in the newness of life. That's what it's all about. So God has resurrected us in Christ. And then in verses 6 and 7, we see that he has seated us with Christ. Now look in verse 6 and 7. This is one reason why I believe in the doctrine of eternal security. This is one of the many passages in the Bible. You know, it frustrates your pastor when we got people that just still believe they can lose their salvation, you know? And that frustrates me to no end, you know? Look in verses 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, this is past tense right here. We are alive spiritually, and God has seated us in heavenly places. We are citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20 says. He has seated us means, again, it's past tense, something God has done. You know, you didn't seat yourself in heavenly places. It's something God has done. We are in a world, but not of the world, right? We're in heavenly places. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, and we live in God's kingdom and not in Satan's kingdom anymore. Amen? You see, and this is another thing that frustrates me. I'm just going to be a frustrated little preacher tonight. But, you know, we claim to be saved. We claim to know what the Bible teaches, but we don't appropriate its truths in our life when it comes time to show people we are believers, right? And we need to do that. Now, I don't want to die a harmful death. I don't want to be burnt, and I don't want to be cut. That's why I try to stay away from fires and bars. I mean, I don't want to be cut, you know. But I don't know how God's going to take me out of this world. Probably going to be, it's not texting anymore. I don't text. And if you're here and you drive around and you're still texting, you are taking your life and your family's life in jeopardy, okay? All right? I ain't going to call no names, but I know who they be, right? And so quit that texting, okay? Ben, you ain't got to worry about that, right? Okay. But I forgot where I was going with this. But if we die, in a matter of seconds, we're looking into the face of Jesus, right? You know, it just, you may not be there, but I just the way I feel. This world is not my home, folks. You know, I mean, I want to go to heaven. And whenever he takes me, and when, by the way, he's not going to take us till he's through with us, right? But we act like we shy away from heaven, like it's like going to the White House or something, you know? I mean, and we shy away from it. Well, that's why we're here. That's our destination. That's our motivation, you know? And it determines if you witness, and it determines if you live a life of holiness, right? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why. I don't know what it is. But he has seated us with Christ in heavenly places. What was God's purpose? That he might be blessed forever, but we might be blessed forever by his grace and his kindness toward us. I can't get over verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, when you got saved and you got Christ living within you, folks, it's not over with. You're going to see him one day. You're going to see him face to face, and you're going to fellowship with him forever and forever in the eternal state, Revelation 21 and 22. You know, you don't have to worry about fishing in that heavenly bass pond. You're not going to have to worry about playing checkers with the guys down at the drugstore. You're going to be fellowshipping with Jesus. Amen? I told at the funeral Saturday, I told the people there, I said, if the preachers tell you that your loved one's up there kicking up gold dust, or they're fishing in the heavenly bass pond, they're lying to you. I'm here to give you the truth. They want to make you feel good, and I want you to be biblical, right? They're in the very presence of Jesus under the altar in blissful, conscious awareness, joy, until the resurrection. Amen? How can they gonna kick up gold dust when the body's in the casket, right? So it's just a bunch of hogwash to make people feel good, you know? But it doesn't work that way. So what was his purpose? He's going to bless us forever by his grace and kindness toward us. What have we learned so far? Number one, God has saved us by his love, not because there's something special in us. You know that? You walk around strutting and said, I believe, and you didn't. That makes me better than you do. No, it's by God's grace that you believe, right? And then secondly, we learned that God saved us not because he saw who would believe and call them, but by his love and his mercy, his unmerited favor upon us. And then thirdly, heaven was settled for you when you got saved. You know, there's a lot of people who sit in a Baptist church or a Calvary Chapel church, right, who still struggle with eternal security and still struggle whether or not they're going to heaven when they die, right? When you came to faith in Christ, that was settled for you, right? Amen. And it just disturbs me. I preached my whole 27 years this doctrine, and people are just not getting it, you know? And there's nothing else I can do. They can live a miserable life their whole life, wondering if they're going to heaven or not. Maybe it's because they're still depending on their works. Or there's still people have put them in bondage, thinking you can lose it at any moment, right? And, you know, how do you get it back? Christ only died once, right? How do you know you got it back? How do you know when you lost it, right? And it's just amazing to me. I feel better now that I got it off my chest, okay? So what we were, what God did, he saved us by his love and his mercy, okay? But then why did God do it? Why God did it? Look in verses 8 through 10. We'll notice two thoughts here. How God saved us in verses 8 and 9, okay? First of all, we'll see that God extends grace in Christ for salvation. Look in verse 8. For by grace are you saved. Notice grace comes before faith, right? Grace was extended. We hear the gospel. You were saved through faith. Man must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, right? And not of yourselves. You can't walk around through this life and say, today would be a good day to believe in Jesus. If he's calling you, you better come, right? It's by grace through faith. Look what it says. And not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about in our salvation, but we have everything to praise him for saving us, right? So God extends his grace toward us. Salvation is a gift. It's not something we earn. It's not by our human merit or works. And even faith is a gift from God, the text says. It's not of ourselves. Salvation is a gift. And if it is a gift, it's undeserved favor of God, right? That's what it means. We don't deserve to be saved. Philippians 1:29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." One translation says, "For unto you it is given, it is granted to you." It is a gift to on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The prosperity gospel does not preach that text, right? They might even cut it off right there where it talks about suffering being a gift, right? And there's something wrong with you. You don't have enough faith. You didn't send me enough money, right? You didn't build up enough redeemable points with God, you know. There's something wrong with you. No. It is a gift to suffer for the cause of Christ. Then secondly, not only does God extend grace in Christ for salvation, we're talking about how he saved us, but man exercised faith in Christ for salvation. We see that same thing in verse 8 and 9. When we accept the finished work of Christ on our behalf, we act by faith supplied by God's grace. This is the paradox. We exercise faith, but faith is a gift as well. Okay? So salvation is not in church membership. It's not in baptism. It's not in confirmation. It's not in giving, it's not in being good, it's not in exercising, it's only given by exercising faith in what Jesus Christ has done. So all boasting is eliminated in salvation. Next time you sit in church and you think, man, I'm better than that guy down the road cutting his grass on Sunday. Or I'm better than those I saw in the boat headed to the beach. Or I'm better than that guy at the bar. No, folks, it's by God's favor that you got saved, right? Because we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. All boasting is eliminated. Let me give you a verse. Titus 3:5, 3:4, 5:6. But after that, the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see how God saved us. And then secondly, in verse 10, we see why God saved us. Look in verse 10, if you will. For we are his, you know, he's talking about salvation. Then that word for there, you can put the word since or because. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. God, number one, desires to work in us and through us, right? As I shared before, I've never did a work for God in my life. He's done it through me, okay? But while I go, I'll give you a funny. And the choir was singing, "Do a Little Thing for Jesus." I couldn't hear him. Well, Marcus, I thought y'all was saying, "Do a Little Gig for Jesus." I didn't know what you were talking about there. Y'all do understand that. Whatever you do for the kingdom, he does it through you, right? So the first thing when you get saved, you got to give him your body. You got to surrender to him. Let him do a work in you and then do a work through you. We're not saved by works, but for works. We are to bear fruit and prove the genuineness of our faith. And he says there in verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship." That basically means that God wants to fashion us. That's the word. He saved us to conform us unto his Son. He has promised us that he will complete it, and his purpose in us will be accomplished. Okay? We are his workmanship. God's not through with you when he saved you. Okay? He wants to continue to work on us that he can use us for the kingdom. And then in verse 10, we also see that God desires that faith be seen. That's evident from the text. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're a believer and you've been saved, God has already ordained that you would express good works, okay? And it's him really doing the works in and through you, right? Do everybody see that in the text? That's why we preach, that's why I preach, the same thing that James says. Can faith without works save a person? No, it can't. You're saved, yes, you're saved by grace through faith, but we demonstrate that horizontally to mankind by our good works, right? Faith that is never seen is not faith. right? Faith must be seen if we're going to prove the genuineness of our faith. So the greatest evidence to you and others that you're saved is your transformed life. I preached a sermon one time from the same text. I didn't do it like I did today, but I called it Salvation 101. When I was going to college, if you was a freshman, all your classes began with 100. Y'all remember that? Was that way when y'all went? Yeah. Me and you were the only ones who went to college, sister. And then when you got to be a sophomore, there were 200s, right? And then there were 300s. And then when you got to be a senior, there were 400s. 401, 402, 403. And so I shared the message about Salvation 101. Let me say it this way. Salvation is from sin, by his love, into life, through faith, unto good works. That's what salvation is. So we were without Christ, we were dead and on our way to hell, but God intervened, imparting to us not only imputed grace and faith, but also imparting to us the grace and faith that it takes to live the Christian life. And once we're saved, God works in us and through us. I heard a false teacher preaching this past week about, well, you know, you don't have to show your faith. You know, you're saved. You know, you don't even have to witness to nobody. All you got to do is walk around and say, I'm saved. You know, well, I don't know where they get the theology. It's not in the Bible, right? True faith is seen, okay? True faith is active. It's not passive. Right? And that's what the text says. Father, as our musicians come tonight, thank you for the wonderful chapter here that we looked at on salvation. Lord, what we were, what you did, and why you did it.